Recorded Books presents Golem Crafters by Emmy Watanabe Cohen, narrated by the author. To the grandfather I met the year I turned 13, and to the grandmother I visited in secret, and to Doctors Marion and Stan Cohen, who have been here all along. Chapter 1. The Unexpected Cardboard Box. I drop my overstuffed backpack on the floor by the door, set aside the heavy box I'd found waiting in the mailroom, and flop onto the couch so heavily the back of my head hits the frame beneath the cushions. It has been a long, long few months. But it's over now, and maybe by the time we return to school in a week and a half, my classmates will have settled down. My older brother, Shiloh, isn't home yet. He's probably out doing eighth-grader stuff with his eighth-grader friends. Mom's at work, Dad's at work. Our apartment is nice and quiet, and the fridge is full of snacks. All in all, I'm ready for a calm, solitary start to my sixth-grade spring break. But then Shiloh storms through the front door. One look at his scuffed-up face, and all my thoughts fly straight out the window. "What happened to you?" I exclaim, sitting up. "Nothing." Shiloh gives me a warning look, dropping his bag next to mine and prodding self-consciously at the big bruise forming on his jaw. "Just got into an accident, is all." "You got a bloody nose." I drag myself to my feet and hurry to his side, peering at his face. He has dried blood on his upper lip, smudged like he'd tried to hide it. "What happened? Who did this?" I have a feeling I know exactly who did it, but there's a part of me that still hopes I'm wrong. "I'm fine," Shiloh says. "Seriously, can we just drop it?" My emotions are roiling, sloshing messily between anger and grief, but Shiloh doesn't want to talk, and I know from experience that I can't force him to. So I take a deep breath and shove all the feelings down. "You need an ice pack," I say, heading for the kitchen. "No, I don't." "Yeah, you really do." I halt to level a glare at him. Bruises look worse when they swell up, and the swelling happens because of blood leaking from damaged capillaries. "Faye," Shiloh interrupts, "summarize." "Ice will make it harder for Mom and Dad to see," I say. "Oh, cool," Shiloh says. Literally. He does finger guns at me, and I know he's trying to get me to lighten up a little, but it doesn't work. His face falls, and he heads into the kitchen to find an ice pack. My skin is covered in pins and needles. I ball my hands into fists to keep them from shaking. I feel silly. Shiloh's the one who got beat up, not me, and he's making awful puns, but I can't help it. Shiloh emerges from the kitchen with a bag of frozen peas and a forced smile for my benefit. "So, my last day of school sucked," he says. "But how was yours? Did the chorus line give you any trouble?" I sigh, and we head back to the couch. Shiloh calls the girls in my grade the chorus line because they repeat everything their leader says. I've considered explaining to him that chorus lines are actually lines of synchronized dancers, not singers, but if there's one thing the chorus line has taught me, it's that nobody wants to be lectured, even if it's the truth. "Any fun homework?" Shiloh coaxes me. "No," I say. Teachers aren't allowed to give homework over holidays until high school. That doesn't stop them from trying, but they're not allowed to enforce it. "But Mom set next Monday as a deadline for me to find an extracurricular." "Oh," Shiloh says. "I'm sorry, Faye. That sucks." It doesn't suck as much as getting hit in the jaw by a kid twice your size, though. I force a smile. "I'll figure something out," I say. "There's got to be at least one club out there who'll have me." "You could join," Shiloh begins. "Nope," I say. "Robotics club?" I shake my head, glaring at him. "Ah, well, worth a shot." Shiloh sighs, slouching down further against the couch cushions. "I still have some leftover bar mitzvah stuff to finish up. Two more thank you notes and I'm all done." "Oh, about that." Somehow I'd forgotten. I motion toward the box I left near the door. "Add one more to your list." Shiloh frowns, sitting up. "Who's it from?" "Judah Maisel, according to the return label."
"Who?"
I shrug. I have a few theories, estranged uncle, half-brother from another dimension, but I only say the obvious thing aloud. "Must be a relative of Dad's," I say, "a New York Maisel."
"Maybe it's a half-brother from another dimension," Shiloh says.
"That's what I thought."
"Well..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?